Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here. It's March 2nd. I hope you've had a wonderful week. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. It kicks off the 6 weeks leading up to Easter. And it's a special day. It's been a tradition that we would have an Ash Wednesday service in the morning. And so we have it at 7:30 in the morning here in the sanctuary. And what we do, it's a brief service, kind of before you go off to work or to school. We have a scripture, a worship song or two. We have some time of prayer. And then I give a very brief reflection on a scripture. And then at the end of the service, for those who would like to, we administer the ashes. And what that is that I'll make a sign of the cross from ashes and oil, olive oil there mixed together. I make it on your hand or on your forehead. And people then traditionally have worn that throughout the day to remind themselves of the sacrifice that Jesus has made for them, that he has come to save them from their sins. And it's just a reminder all day what this season is all about, so that when we get to Easter, you know, late in April, we don't just suddenly get there and forget what really we're celebrating, but that we've spent the whole season of Lent leading up to it in a time of really reflection on just being broken over our sins and the wonderful grace and love of God that has come to us in Christ for a Savior, and how he died for our sins upon that cross, and how he rose from the dead that we might now have new life in him. And so to kick it off, we kind of do Ash Wednesday. And so if you'd like to come at 7:30 Wednesday morning for a brief service, come and join us. Also this season, we have a few things that you can do to help make Jesus and the cross more special to you and more of thought on your mind. One is we have a bookmark in the back that you can put in your Bible, and it's got a different psalm every day for these 40 days leading up to Easter. And you can read that psalm, and there's a question to think about there. And it's something you can do to spend some time with God in prayer. We have those available for you here at the church. We also have a little cross about this big that you can put on your kitchen table, and it's free. You just take it. And then there's some different objects that every Sunday you can read a verse, and we have all this laid out for you. But you read a verse and you put this little object on the cross to think more about the story. So for example, there's a little purple cloth and you can put it around the cross just to remember that he is king and he rode into Jerusalem on that donkey. Or there might be some little coins, and those are there as you read the verse to remember that Judas betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. And so there's nails, of course, and there are other things that are little objects that every Sunday. So it's a great object lesson for your kids at home that you can do, or even just us adults, just to remember again what the story is and what it's all about. So we have that available for you at the church here. And then on every Saturday of Lent at 9:30 in the morning, we're going to meet over at Wayne Park in Waverly at the Aquatic Center parking lot. And we're going to take a couple walks around the park together. Maybe we'll say some prayers as we walk. Maybe we'll just walk and enjoy each other's company. But it's something to do to stay connected and to be outside and whatever during this season of Lent. So there's a few little items like that that you can do. Another thing I wanted just to let you know is we are now collecting donations of new socks and underwear and laundry soap for our community closet, which gives out clothing to about 100 different people in District 145 that need it. And so if you want to go to the store and buy some new socks and underwear and laundry soap, that would be great. Bring them. There's going to be some bins here at the church where you can put them in over the next few weeks. And then we will distribute those items to these families, along with all the other clothing items that we have, that will be something that's very needed and beneficial to those families. I love the Community Closet ministry and the people who run it. If you want to know more about it, please let me know, or Jesse Zuniga, who helps run that program. All right, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me now to Matthew. We're going to read in chapter 6, verses 5 to 18 today. We are going through the Gospel of Matthew this year. We're currently in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and today we're learning what Jesus has to say about prayer. So Matthew 6, verses 5 to 18, it says this, "And when you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the street corners just to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they'll have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep babbling on like the pagans, for they think that they'll be heard just because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. But this then is how you should pray. Pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast, don't look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it won't be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done is in secret will reward you." Today, I get to talk about one of my favorite subjects, that is prayer. I believe it is one of the most important things we do in life and every day. I think of the Old Testament story of Moses and how he had this tent of meeting, a place that he could go and talk with God. Well, in Christ, all of us now are able to go and talk with God. You don't have to be a Moses or a priest. You are invited. Whether you are 5 years old or 95 years old, Jesus is talking about an open invitation that we all have as Christians here to go to our room, to close the door, and to pray to our Father who is in heaven. He is waiting there to hear from us. I think of James chapter 1, where it says, "If any of you is without wisdom, just ask your Father, who gives generously to all who ask him." Prayer is that place of meeting. Philippians 4 says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." I also think of that wonderful old hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," and the great line of that hymn, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not take it to the Lord in prayer." We parents, we bring our children to God in prayer. You know, all of us, we bring our burdens and lay get them down to God in prayer. We bring and confess our sins to God in prayer and know that we are forgiven. We lay down our heart to God in prayer. All of our regrets and fears and hurts and needs, we take to the Lord in prayer. Sometimes we don't even know what we ought to pray for in a particular situation. But don't worry. The Bible says God knows what we need. Just come to Him and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. In prayer, we find strength to keep going. We find the faith to stand up or to let go. In prayer, we remember what's important and what isn't. In prayer, we come to know the love of God in a deeper way. In prayer, we find patience to give just a little bit more that we didn't think we had in us, a trust maybe just a little deeper, or to hang in there a little longer waiting on the Lord. You know, it's hard for me to tell you everything that I have received in prayer. You really just have to experience it for yourself. as you take time to go to God in prayer, to make prayer more important and a regular part of your life. Running to your Father. Paul says, go pray continuously, you know, without ceasing, just throughout your day. Pray, calling on his name, sitting in his presence. It really does change us. For God knows us, he made us, he loves us, he saves us, and he invites us to come to him. Every relationship in our life, you know, whether it's with parents or a spouse or friends, it grows when we spend time together. Well, same with God. Prayer is spending time with God, and that's when we grow in closeness with him. Even Jesus prayed. We read in the gospel how often he took time to go off by himself to a solitary place where Jesus prayed, to be alone with his Father. He knew he needed it, and so do we. I find that the busier I get, the more I need to stop and pray. Not less, I need to make time more the busier I am. Prayer refocuses me on Christ and what matters, because I can get worried and busy and distracted in life, and I can do things in my own strength and my own wisdom, and that's not going to turn out well, and that's not even, you know, what life is really all about. So our life in Christ, to be lived for him, to be walking in the Spirit, we must be a people of prayer. You know, where we come away just like Jesus did, and we spend time with our Father, tuning in again to God and his will. You know, I'm not telling you things you don't already know. I get that. We all know prayer is important. It was in prayer that the upper room, you know, in the upper room there, when the Holy Spirit came down on Pentecost and filled the believers and empowered them for mission. They were praying when that happened. It was in prayer when Elijah heard that still small voice of God just whisper right to his weary and discouraged and lost heart. He was ready to quit. But when God spoke to him in that time of prayer, he instantly was filled up again with hope and knew what he was supposed to do. Prayer is an essential part of being a Christian. Just like gathering together with other believers is important, or just like reading our Bible is important, or serving or loving our neighbor is important, so too prayer is one of those essential things we cannot live without. You can't follow Jesus without prayer. The early church gathered regularly for prayer. I think about how Jesus went to the temple, and when he was there, you know, he got upset because all the people were buying and selling there. But it says that what he said was he was upset because of what they had turned it into, and that it was no longer a house of prayer. That's what he wanted. His people were no longer seeking God. I think of the famous verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that speaks of prayer. It says, God promises, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Healing of the land and forgiving of the sins is connected to prayer. When we ask God. Luke 11:1, it says that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray. Well, what we're reading in our scripture in Matthew for today is Jesus doing just that, teaching his disciples and us how to pray and things that are important to know about prayer. Well, the first thing we need to know about how to pray is that to pray, you must have faith. Now, Jesus doesn't specifically say that in our verses in Matthew, but it is implied there, and it is mentioned in many other Bible verses, that you have to have faith to pray. And it is not faith in what you're praying for, believing that you're going to get it. No, it is faith in who you are praying to that makes all the difference. You see, the people that Jesus is talking to in our scripture for today are people who already believed in God. They believed that God existed, and they heard, you know, that he heard them when they prayed, and that he cared about them and what happened to them, both individually as well as a nation, and that he was all powerful and at work in their life. They believed in the one true God. There is this story in 1 Kings 18 where 450 prophets of a pagan god named Baal prayed for a long time to their god Baal, really believing that he would answer them, and nothing happened. And they wondered why. What did they do wrong in their prayer? Well, the prayer didn't work, not because they weren't earnest, but because there's no power in prayer alone, there's only power in the one that you were praying to. And there was no Baal. He was just an idol, a false god of their own imagination. He could do nothing for them. To pray to them was to pray to the air. But there's one God. And so when Elijah prayed after them, not with a show, and he just one man, but not praying to Baal, but praying to the one true God, there came an answer immediately. Because here is the thing. It's not that prayer changes things. It's the one you are praying to who changes things. And we as Christians know and believe there is a God. That there is one God, our Father and Creator, and there is one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so when we pray in faith to Him. We pray to Him in His name, and we trust Him with the answer. Only He has the power to heal or to save or to forgive sins or to help us in our moment that we might be in. The faith required of prayer is not a faith in believing that we will get whatever we ask for if we just believe it hard enough. No, the faith needed in prayer is a faith in the one true God. Trusting in Him, knowing Him through His Word, believing in Christ and that He loves you and that He can help you, that He died on the cross for you and always do what is best for you. The faith required in prayer is not in the thing asked for, but in the one in whom we are asking. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Prayer, it's not a show. It's not about the right words. It's not about just positive thinking or sending up well wishes. No, it is going to our Father in heaven and believing in who He is and what He can do. My dad drew a picture of me a while back with pen and ink, and I love it. It's in my office. He captured me very well. It is 98th Street right outside our church, and it's looking north of the church, and he has a picture of me walking like I like to do on the road, and I can instantly tell it's me in the picture and what I'm doing in the picture, because I do it often. I am praying to my Father in heaven. I am spending time talking to the Lord. And when I go for a walk on that road, I like to pray. I'm having a conversation with God. And when I do, I'm not thinking about the right words to say. I'm just talking to Him like I would if we were to walk on the road together and have a conversation. This is prayer for me. It is praying to my Father in heaven who knows me and who I know through the Word and through Christ. When I pray to Him, I am not alone. He is right there with me. I can't see Him, but I'm talking to Him and I'm believing by faith. He is right there hearing me. So it's faith, you see, it's believing. When I pray, I believe in who I'm talking to. One, of course, that He exists and that I'm not just talking to myself. I believe He is there and I believe He knows me and has watched over my life since I was a little boy, and He has been faithful to me and will keep being faithful. And he's the same one who talked to Abraham and Moses and guided the apostles, Peter and Paul. He's my Father in heaven. He's the one true God. That's who I'm talking to. And so it's not just me on the road. And even though I can't see him in my room or in the sanctuary or when I'm out walking, I know he is there and I know he loves me and I know that he hears me. So this is the starting place of real prayer. You got to have faith. It's not just a religious thing we do, but it is a relationship with a real God through Jesus Christ who you get to talk to. And so when we bow our head and close our eyes or we walk on the street, when we say, "Dear God," we're believing he's hearing us in that moment. And I will say, this is one of the greatest joys of life and gifts of Christ, that we can pray and that we can know that God is right there with us when we do, that we can call on his name and know that he hears us and that we're never alone because we have Christ. And whatever we face today, we don't have to face it by ourselves. We can pray and we can ask him for the help and the guidance of our steps. And that if we have a big decision to make, we don't have to face it by ourselves and wonder what to do. We can pray to God who will show us what to do. And when we're faced with painful things, we don't have to hold on to that pain all by ourselves, but our Father in heaven, he's real, and he's asking us to give it to him. So prayer, you see, is a gift. But the first step of that is you got to have faith, not in what you're asking for, but in who you are talking to, believing in and trusting him. He hears you, he cares about you, and he's listening. The second thing we need to know about prayer is what Jesus says here, that prayer is not, for example, a babbling on of many words or repeating of phrases over and over again. This is not what gets God's attention, as if God were just a genie and waiting for you to say the magic words before he's going to grant you your wish, or you got to repeat this sentence 20 times. No, Jesus says that God is our Father. He knows what we need before we even ask. So just go to him for real. Speak to him from your heart. I read this great quote this week about prayer and how we can get stuck at times, making our prayer so mechanical or routine, and that we just pray the same things maybe over and over again, almost without thinking about what we're doing. This quote said, "All of us have one routine prayer in our system, and once we get rid of it, then we can really start to pray." And I liked that quote. I think it means that sometimes we can get lazy in prayer or even just start to talk to God maybe only about one thing, or just quickly pray for our food before a meal or that sick person or the travel. And maybe we even can recite the Lord's Prayer, but without really even stopping to think about the words or what they really even mean. And so prayer becomes just this religious activity, but nothing of the heart. And our prayer, just words that we think we're supposed to say, but really what God wants is our heart. He doesn't want us to just spiritually babble on. That doesn't move him. We're his child. He cares what's going on in our life and in our heart. And so we kind of got to let go of that spiritual babble to just go deeper with our Father and be real with him and thank him for what he has given us, and to not just say the words, but to mean them and to think about what maybe we most need from our Father today, and to ask God for that, to open up with him about our real concerns that are going on. He can see them anyway, and our real fears and our real struggles we're having at home and in our heart and in our mind, you know, and really open up to him about our sins and how we're struggling and we need his help and forgiveness, and really listening for his reply when we ask him for wisdom. We've got to get past the ritual of prayer to begin to really talk to our Father. Another thing that Jesus says, though prayer is not, is about impressing other people. We aren't to use our prayer to impress. You know, I heard the prayers at the inauguration, and I hear prayers at certain public events, and at times it seems like they're more performances than prayer. And I can be this way too. I know it. I can try to impress you all with fancy prayers, but these don't impress God. Jesus says these are like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues or streets to be seen and heard. They're doing it for that, but prayer is not a show for other people. It's us talking as ourself to God. Just talk as you would talk. Don't try to impress or get caught up in words. Jesus mentions that when we pray, maybe it's the best for us to even go to our room, close the door, and pray there to our Father. In other words, do whatever it takes to remove the show. Jesus is saying that we can't pray. Jesus is not saying here that we can't pray with other people or in church sometimes altogether, for there are many examples of that kind of prayer in the Bible. Jesus is just really talking about guarding our motive, getting rid of the show, being able to get away and really focus on God and not on other people. You know, when I hear, go into your room, close the door, I think about how as a kid, it was often in my room where I prayed. Or I think about at camp, for me, it was when the counselor would say, okay, go find a tree or go sit alone in nature somewhere and just be alone with God and pray to Him. That's when I had my best prayers. I tell you, when I was in college or seminary, you know, I was in a dorm room or apartment with lots of people, and so I had to get away from that to really be alone with God. And so there was this prayer room right off of the chapel at our seminary. And I would often go there and just sit alone, just me and God in this tiny little room where I would bear out my soul to the Lord. Sometimes I cried, sometimes I just knelt, sometimes I just sat there and prayed. Even today, sometimes I come into this sanctuary early in the morning when no one's here, and I just sit in here alone with God. I leave my phone in the office, and I just go spend some alone time in prayer. It is so important to my soul and into my life. When you have little kids at home, maybe you feel like you can never be alone. Well, that's one gift you could give to your spouse. You could let them take some time to be alone, close the door in their room, and be with God, and you watch the kids while they go do that. Or you can drive to a park and sit alone in your car and just read your Bible a little bit and pray. We all need this. Third thing we learn in our scripture for today is that Jesus teaches his disciples and us a model prayer of what we can pray. And we call this the Lord's Prayer. And it's very important that we don't just turn this into another thing we recite without thinking about it. Jesus wasn't exactly telling his disciples specific words to pray. He was giving an example of how to pray, like an outline of things that we could talk to God about. For example, Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." In this first line of what we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is teaching us who we're to pray to, not to Mary or to saint or a grandma or the universe or a fake god named Baal, but to pray to our Father who is in heaven. We pray to the one true God. It's personal. He's our Father. We're his kids. He loves us, knows our name. We pray to him. And he says, hallowed be your name. And it's literally, holy is his name. And again, this is more than just a line we're supposed to repeat. Jesus is saying, begin your prayers first acknowledging God as your Father, and then open with praise. Remember who God is and what God has done. Know who you're talking to. He is a holy God. He is a good God. He is the same God of Abraham who always was and is to come. He's the eternal God. He's the same God of Moses who delivered his people out of bondage and parted the seas for them. He's the same God of King David who took down a giant for him. The same God of Queen Esther who was with her and protected her and her people from an enemy. The same God of Daniel. He was there with him in the lion's den. The same God who is our Savior, who came in the flesh and took nails for us and was risen and alive. The same God who has always been faithful. Nothing is impossible with him. He sees you. He knows you. He's all powerful. All that Jesus is saying here is when you pray, pray first to your Father who is in heaven, and remember, begin your prayers with praise, who he is and all he has done. Hallowed be thy name. Jesus then says, pray, your kingdom come, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This reminds us that when we go to God in prayer, you know, we maybe have certain things we wish will happen or think that is best, but we need to always first pray that God's will be done, that his kingdom will come, that the things that God wants to happen in our life and in our world will happen. You know, am I looking when I go to prayer just for God to give me what I think I need or what God is saying is good for me and for this world? Pray his will to be done, Jesus is saying. Jesus then says, next, pray for what you need. Give us this day our daily bread. It's daily. What is it that you most need for today? Ask God for that. Maybe it is food for your table. Maybe it's something for your kids or patience that you're really going to need today, or a new job, you know, an income for your family. Pray for that, whatever you need. Maybe it is help with a conflict that you're currently having with someone. Maybe it is something for your neighbor. Jesus is saying, go to God. Ask him for what you need for this day. He is your true provider. Jesus then says, pray, forgive us our debts or sins as we forgive those who are our debtors or who have sinned against us. So part of our prayer time needs to be humbly admitting our own sins to God and asking for his forgiveness and then his help to forgive other people in our life who have hurt us. And so when I get to that, you know, sometimes I'll pause and I'll just think about some of the things in my life that I know I keep slipping up in, and I confess those to God, or I'll certain people that I'm having problems with that are hard for me to love right now and to forgive, and I'll say, Lord, help me to forgive that person. Help me to see them as you see them. That's what Jesus means when he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus then ends this model prayer with, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In every life, we're going to face temptations and we're going to face evil. The Bible says all who want to live a godly life in Christ are going to be persecuted. The disciple Peter writes, be alert and self-controlled, for the devil's like a roaring lion, always looking for someone to devour. Paul even says in Ephesians 6, we're to put on the full armor of God every day and to always pray for each other. Life can be a battle at times, and we overcome in prayer with the Lord. We pray for victory over our temptations before they even come. We pray for protection for our kids and people going through discouragements and spiritual attacks and defeat. We pray for greater faith and strength, and that God would protect them from all those things the devil would want to do in our life and in our world. So this becomes an outline. Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer as an outline, something meant to guide our prayers, to get us to know the kind of things we should be praying for, and to make it personal. We're talking to our Father in heaven and really desiring to do his will and to see his kingdom come and to truly trust in his provision for today and his guidance for tomorrow. So look at the Lord's Prayer and examine your own prayer life. What can I learn from this? What can I add to my prayers to make them more fuller of what God maybe wants as we talk together? And then fourth, the last thing I wanted to take a moment to talk about that Jesus does is fasting and how it's another way we pray. Fasting is a Christian practice that Jesus talked about and he himself did. Yet most of us Christians today never even think about fasting, and maybe you've even never tried to fast. Well, what is fasting and why do we do it? Well, fasting very specifically is the absence of food for a specific period of time, accompanied by times of prayer. So instead of eating for the day, we take that time we normally would have done meals and we pray and we seek God for his direction or help with something. It could be once a week that we fast or once a month. There really is no direction in the Bible for that, but it is mentioned often. In the Bible, Jesus fasted and prayed before he started his ministry. In Bible times, God's people fasted on the Day of Atonement to recognize their own sin and need for a Savior. Other examples of fasting are when Esther was going to go before the king, and she asked the people to pray and fast for God's protection over her. Another time, we read in the book of Acts, the disciples fasted and prayed for God to show them where to go next in missions. Fasting is a Christian discipline. It can help us grow deeper with God and also in self-control, for you're denying your flesh to deeper partake of spiritual things. Now, if I was honest with you today, this is a discipline I have never done. But I feel I need and want to start. For it is in the Bible. But also for me, I think it would help with self-control. For I rarely deny myself something that I want if I can have it. But my flesh is not to be my Lord. Jesus is. So fasting kind of helps with that. A little thing, a relation to this about how I always kind of do what I want. I have trouble even following the diet that I, as a 50-year-old man now, am supposed to have according to my doctor because certain foods no longer like me. Eating those foods make me feel sick if I eat them. But I can have such little control and discipline that I eat them anyway, only to pay for it later. But this can be, you see, even a spiritual problem we can do, a flesh thing. We can give into our flesh every time we want something, and it's not always good for us. For example, you know, we want to buy something, and we buy it without really thinking about whether we even need it, or if it's right for it, or if we can afford it, or we do something that we want to do, but it's not always the right thing to do. And we know we're supposed to do that which Jesus wants, but we do what our flesh wants sometimes, you know. Or if I'm hungry, I eat. If I'm thirsty, I drink. If I want for this, I take it. We're kind of an instant gratification people and like to do what we want to do, even if it's not good for us. Our flesh will often win in our life. But the Spirit is what is supposed to guide and lead our life. Well, fasting is to help with this. It's learning to deny the flesh to feed the Spirit. As Jesus said, to not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. People tell me that they feel closer to God and stronger in the Lord when they take this regular time and give it to Him. People have also told me that fasting has helped them better identify with the needs of the poor. For as they feel hunger, they imagine what it would feel like every day to not have food and to not be able to feed your kids. It makes them more generous, they say. Fasting, though, is not about punishing yourself. It's not about feeling self-righteous or more spiritual because we're fasting. It's about seeking more of God and learning like an athlete to, as Paul says, make our body our slave and not our master. So Jesus mentions fasting here and how we need to keep it to ourselves and to not fast to impress others, but fast to just have a deeper walk and a hunger for Him. I think that it's perfect that we're talking about this today with Lent starting Wednesday, because in some churches and traditions, they give up stuff for Lent, you know, and it's almost like a fast. Some people, for example, don't eat meat on Fridays, and they go without coffee or chocolate for this season of Lent, and I don't know why they do that, what's in their heart. That's between them and God, if it's tradition, ritual, or just really they desire more of Him. But I wanted to tell you that I am interested in fasting once a week during these next 6 weeks. I want to practice this Christian discipline that I've never done, just to see what it is like. And I'm not telling you this to impress you, but to invite you to consider this if you want to as well. You don't have to. I don't think you get more brownie points in heaven for it, because it's not about our works that we are saved. But just if you want to, if you think that maybe giving God this time in fasting and prayer and desiring more of Him might be good for you. Maybe God will show up in our times together and He'll speak to us in those quiet days of sacrifice and extra time with Him. And as we pray for our family and our world, maybe we'll begin to see His answers a little clearer, his time, and we maybe will know him a little more and trust in his way with a little less anxiety maybe and more peace. For me, I'm just going to pick one day a week and not eat that day. Maybe you don't go the whole day, but maybe you just give up breakfast or lunch one day a week. Maybe you've got something like diabetes and you can't give up food, but you think of some other way to make a sacrifice for him and to spend that time in prayer. It's whatever you want to do, but I'm going to spend the time that I normally would have eaten, and I'm going to bring my Bible, and I'm going to find a little quiet space around the house or church or outside wherever I am during those meal times, and I'm just going to read, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to journal. Maybe on that day that I fast, I'll take a walk down 98th Street and pray. I'm just not going to fill, though, that time with more work or busyness or distractions. But I want to be intentional about those times to spend them with my Father in heaven. I want to spend more time in prayer. That instead of filling my stomach with more food, I would take the time to fill my life and heart with a little more of God, of that which I can, that He gives, which can truly satisfy me. The food that I most need in a day is Him. So if you decide to do this too, feel free to let me know of your experience. It'll be new for both of us. But let's take more time to spend in the wonderful gift of prayer, going and meeting with our God and spending time with our Father. Let me pray for us even now. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you give to us. Thank you for the people who are watching this, and thank you, Lord, for all you're doing in our church right now at this time. And Lord, we don't want to do anything as a ritual or impulsive and that kind of thing, but Lord, we do want to spend more time with you in prayer. And if you mention fasting so much in the Bible, we'll do that. We'll spend a time and we'll want to seek more of you. And so help us in those times. Help us during out this whole season of Lent, whether we fast or we don't, just to take more time to be with you, to call out to you, to talk with you freely. For you love us and you know us, and you invite us to pray. And so, Lord God, help us not to miss that in the busyness and distractions of our life, but to really come away with you and to feel your peace, to know your heart, to know your will, and your love, and to rest in it. It's in Jesus' name we pray today. Amen. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.